It's time now for the broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise in Greensboro, North Carolina, with Pastor Ray Whittington. Find out more about the Cathedral of Praise and Pastor Ray on Facebook. Just search Cathedral-of-Praise. And you can address correspondence to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina, 27404. Now with today's broadcast, here's Pastor Ray.
Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It's another opportunity today to serve the Lord and to live for the Lord. It's another opportunity to, if you're able, to get up and go to God's house. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as some is, but so much more as you see the day approaching. I was talking with Glenda the other day, and we were talking about how when we were growing up, church was the center of our life. We had Sunday morning, Sunday night, and I know things change, and Wednesday and Friday or whatever, but we still need to put God first in our lives. We need to. That was what everything was built upon. And I appreciate you listening by the means of the radio or the internet. I appreciate that. But if we can, we're supposed to gather together in the house of God to worship Him. I'm looking forward to being at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road at 10:30 in a little while to worship God in spirit and in truth. We need to put God first in our lives. We need to seek the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God with His righteousness, and let the other things be added unto us. There's so much suffering in the world. I said to Glenda this morning, I believe it was, that it just seems like I preach more funerals lately than I have in months, and attended funerals, and just got word this morning where a precious friend of ours, her daughter, 45 years old, been fighting cancer for several years, and she passed away last night. Went to the hospital to visit a man that I met years ago. Somebody said said to him, you'll have things in common with Ray Whittington, and we became friends. And he didn't he came to church some, but he had his own church. But we served the Lord together. But born with some physical impairments, and just got an infection in his body, and it looks like without a miracle of God that. His life is going to be over, but we still press on. But I thought about him, and I thought about, I was reading in some of the New Testament this week where Paul said, "I'm in a strait." And this is not a cop out. This is certainly not a cop out. But he said it's so necessary for me to be in this world to do what God's called me to do and encourage you and lift you up. He was writing in one of the churches, but he said, it would be better for me to be with the Lord. And see, a lot of people don't believe that, but we who know Jesus, we know that He's promised us that to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. And that's not a cop-out, because, as I say to you all the time, death is 100%. Regardless of how we leave this world, we don't increase the death rate, because the death rate is 100%. And so with joy I'll go on singing. Until then, my heart will go on singing. Until then, with joy I'll carry on. Until the day my eyes behold that city. Until the day that God calls me home. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want to thank you for listening to the broadcast. It seems almost impossible that it has almost been 2 years since we started it. Some of you have said, "I'm going to write that preacher. I'm going to encourage him." And I hadn't heard from you yet, but I would still love to hear from you and know that this broadcast is being a blessing to you. So you check out my Facebook page. You who can, Cathedral of Praise or my personal page. I put some things on there that sometimes might encourage you. You might see what I look like, and I might get to see what you look like. And of course, you could see Glenda. Thank God we celebrated our 44th wedding anniversary on Friday. Thank God you can make it. Thank God you can. Thank God that marriage is sacred, and you can have a successful one. Praise God. I thank God for all the years, but to God be the glory for the things that He has done. To God be the glory. But you can email me at raymwhittington@gmail.com or drop me a little note in the mail at P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. And if the Lord lays it on your heart to help with the program, with the ministry, then that would be a blessing as well. Father, I thank you this morning. I thank you this morning that you said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and find grace to help in time of need. Lord, it would take more time than I have on this broadcast to lift up all the needs to you this morning. But you watch the sparrow. You're a big God, but you know, you said the hairs on our head are numbered. You know all about us, and I pray for strength. I pray for encouragement. I pray for help. I pray, Lord, for blessings. I pray for conviction, Lord. We need conviction in this nation once again. Even we who are Christians need to be convicted. We don't need to preach condemnation, but we need a strong conviction when we err from you, when we walk away from you. We've seared our conscience and we've shipwrecked our conscience until nothing seems to bother us anymore. But God, bring America back to you one more time, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Well, the Lord did something to me that I don't like for him to do. I thought I was all set up for the message this morning, and God directed me to a whole different direction. I'll get to that later on, but I read the Bible, and sometimes there's things that you just swallow it whole, as the old saying is, and there's other scriptures that I believe because they're in the Word of God. You know, it's not for private interpretation, and you don't have to. You have to rightly divide the Word of God. But there's a couple of scriptures that sometime that I have to kind of say, now, Lord, what did you mean by this? And one of them is, the term carnal. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth and said, "You're carnal." Now he's talking to believers, and he's saying they're carnal. He said, "I can't give you spiritual things because I have to feed you the milk of the Word because you won't grow up. You're not ready to receive the meat that'll make you a strong man, a woman of God." And I thought, how in the world can you be a Christian and be carnal? And so I had to look at it two or three times. Reminded me of a woman in Wilson, North Carolina, that just, she didn't think you're supposed to go to the doctor, take any medicine. Well, the Bible said knowledge would increase, and Luke was a physician that traveled with the Apostle Paul. And so she was reading the scriptures one day, and she read where it said, "And Luke was a physician," and she read it twice and ran around her house and came back and changed her whole outlook. But I guess I should realize that it, being in ministry over 50 years and pastoring and dealing with people, he said to be carnal minded is death. To be carnal minded is death. And if we don't reach the point that we grow out of carnality into spirituality, we'll never walk in victory, and being a child of God will always be a struggle. Babes have to be helped. But that was one. And another one, he talked about that. He said to be spiritual minded is death. To be spiritual-minded is life, carnal-minded is death, and he goes on to tell us over and over that the seventh chapter of Romans, he talks about, the carnal things, but then he gets to chapter 8 and he says there, therefore now no condemnation to them who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Well, the second one was, it's in 2 Peter chapter 2, and it's verse 7, and it said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. And I thought, Lot? This man that that did Abraham wrong, this man that lived in a wicked city, but see, he traveled with Abraham, and he got enough of righteousness in him that even though he was in the wrong place, he had not lost a point where God could deal with him when he saw the weakness around him. That's what's so frightful today, is that the church world, if we're not careful, we'd rather live in Sodom to have the things of Sodom than to be out somewhere else alone with God. You see, the story is, and I won't read the whole chapter of 2 Peter, but a lot of people don't believe in judgment anymore. The Bible said that God, if he spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them in the chains of darkness to be reserved in the judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. See, we need to go back to the Word of God. We need to quit listening to people, that say everything's going to be okay and everything. The Bible said that everything that happens in the Scriptures are an example for us. And we just can't pick Scriptures that talks about the blessings. If we make wrong choices, we're going to pay the price for making wrong choices. All we got to do is read the book to know what happens. That's what he said. But he said, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Now, I know this won't make a lot of people happy, and this won't be preached in every church in your city this morning, but it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And see, that's where America is. This started out. First of all, God never told Abraham to take Lot with him, but Lot went on the journey. And as long as Lot was with Abraham, he was blessed beyond measure, because Abraham just kept imparting into him the things that God blessed him with. But it reached a point, the Bible said in Genesis, that God had blessed him so much that they no longer could dwell together. And so the Bible said that Abraham said, we've got to come to a separation, and said, you pick what you want, and then I'll take what's left. See how unlike today's world that is. Oh, yes, the God of America itself. If you don't believe it, see how much time people have for you. See the decisions they make. It's self versus other people. It's self versus God. If we have time, we give a little bit of time to God. If we have a little money left over, we give it to God. We don't follow the principle of the first fruits that is in Proverbs that God tells us to do. We just if it doesn't bless us, and here we go. But the Bible said that Lot, see, choices. And this nation is making choices. And people can say what they want to. I heard a preacher say the other day, I'm going to be all right regardless of what happens. No, the Bible said righteousness exalteth a nation, sin is a reproach to any people. And the Bible said when the wicked rule, the people mourn. We pay for our choices. The Bible said that Abraham looked, he saw same thing that happened in the garden with Adam and Eve. They saw, they looked, they tasted. He looked and saw the well-watered plains of Sodom, Gomorrah, and the Bible said that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. See, that's what the church world has done. And I know that this is not modern preaching or this will not, the modern church don't want to hear this kind of preaching, but I have to answer to God. I have to answer to God. When most of what goes on in the church doesn't have a thing to do with the salvation of souls or making disciples, because we pitched our tent towards Sodom and Gomorrah. We like what happens in Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the Bible said he saw the well-watered plains and he pitched his tent. And you cannot dwell among the wicked without being affected by the wicked. That's what the Word of God teaches us, because these people had forgotten God. And how many people you know would say, well, you just take what you want and I'll take what's left. You know, whatever you want to do. But that's what Abraham did. And God, how many people done you wrong that way? How many people have you seen that made a choice? But when Lot was gone, God spoke to Abraham and see, we win. The believer, the righteous win in the end. He looked at Abraham and said, count the stars in the heavens. And he said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. He said, I'm going to take care of you. So, but the Bible said that Lot dwelled in Sodom. And I pray that the people under the sound of my voice this morning, that you know the truth, that you will never get to the point that where sin doesn't vex you and sin doesn't trouble you. We can't just endorse everything. We can't accept everything. I looked at Lot a little different when the Bible said, and he was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelleth among them, in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their, don't ever reach the point that sin doesn't bother you. Don't ever reach the point that disobedience to God's word doesn't bother you. Don't ever reach the point that you can just close your eyes to the, that's what the church has done to fill it up. We take you anything. We just whatever, just so, but we can't do that. We can't do that. Oh God, help us. I know I'm not preaching a popular message, but I'm telling you, the Bible said that even with Lot there, we need to hear this morning, even with Lot there, God saw the weakness and said, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to destroy it, because you can reach a place that you go beyond the grace and the mercy of God. A nation can reach a place that they go beyond the grace of God. You trample grace underneath your feet, and how much sore punishment of those who trample the blood of Jesus underneath their feet. But God told Abraham, and I've done this. I know you've done that. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah because he had family there, and couldn't find 50, couldn't find 40, couldn't find 30. And it wasn't God that quit, it was Abraham. How much longer can we ask God to bless America with the way we turned our back on God? How much longer can we expect God to ignore the weakness that comes up before him every day? I'm not going to name sins, I could, but we know what's going on in the world. But the Bible said that Abraham said, well, I've got loved ones there. And the angels went and knocked on Lot's door, and Lot got out, and two of his daughters, and you know the story of some of that. I won't go into that, but Lot's wife looked back and turned to a pillar of salt. But here's what I want to leave with you. They said to Lot, the angels of the Lord said, if you've got any loved ones, go knock on their door and tell them they got to get out of here. And when he knocked on his daughters and his son-in-law's houses, they said, you speak as a foolish man. You talk crazy. Nothing's going to happen. We've lived like this for years, man. You got to get up with the times. You know, your message don't fit the times. You got to change your message to fit the times instead of changing the times to fit the message. That's what I hear all the time. You're not relevant. You're not relevant to generations, this generation. Well, I'd rather not be relevant to this generation and not be relevant with the Word of God. But the Bible said that they said, you talk like a foolish man. Said, you talk like a foolish man. And I've often said, have I lived a life that's true for the one who died for me, that if I went to my children and my in-laws' houses, my children and their families' houses today or tonight knocked on the door and said, we need to get out of here. We need to get out of here. God said destruction is coming. Would they look at me because of my own life? Would they look at me because of how I live and say, you know, even though I'm righteous, even though I'm vexed with it, would they look at me and say, no, you talk as a foolish person? Or would they believe that God speaks to me enough to say, we don't understand it, we may not accept it, but we know that you walk with God, we know that you hear from God, and we're going to get out with you. See, we're in precarious times. We're in dangerous times. We're in serious times, and I hope that I've walked before. And I'm not talking about a goody-good shoe-tos or some self-righteous person, but I hope my life, have I lived the life that's true to the one who died? Have I really been a friend to Jesus? Do I falter when the pathway is dim? Have I really done my best? Have I really stood the test? Have I really been a friend to him? Because it reached the point that, believe it or not, but trouble came to Sodom and Gomorrah. God spared Lot, but he lost some of his family. I don't want to lose any of my family. I don't want to lose anyone I love. I pray for a turning back to God. But I don't know how much longer we can say God. I don't know how much longer we can throw ourselves on the mercies of God, because we continue to get further away instead of closer to. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and heal their land and forgive their sins. God help us. God help us. So you know, I had a problem. But there's some of us today that when we hang around, we become what we hang around, and we can just accept it, even though we know in our spirit man that something's not right. Well, my time's gone. I hope somebody's got a little help out of this. It's on my heart this morning. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, and may the God of heaven, who rules high, who sits high and looks low, may the God who is the God, the one, the true living God, may he give you peace that passes all understanding. Go with God. That's my story to you this morning. That's my message. Go with God. This is Ray Whittington saying, I sure love you, praying for you. Jesus loves you. Until next time, God bless you is my prayer.
We hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast from the Cathedral of Praise with Pastor Ray M. Whittington. Cathedral of Praise is located at 3529 Rehoboth Church Road in Greensboro, North Carolina. Your support is needed and appreciated for this broadcast. You may address your cards and letters to P.O. Box 4530, Greensboro, North Carolina 27404. And on behalf of Pastor Ray and all the congregation of Cathedral of Praise, we're praying for you, and we hope to see you again right here next week.